Okay, so today I would like to share with you Sister Lucia, and also I think you know, talking about Sister Lucia, next time we will talk about Blessed Alexandria. I find that, you know, when I start writing about Blessed Alexandria, the more I study her life, the more I like her. The more I find that it's good that next year we can go and visit her tomb. You know, I think it will be quite a blessing to actually get to know that particular holy woman in heaven. And I think she will be one of the, I know as time goes on, I think it's quite possible that she might be one of the popular saints in the world, because she is really remarkable, Blessed Alexandria. And she is being also called the fourth seer of Fatima, the fourth seer of Fatima. So I think, but next time, for sure, we will talk about her more. Because originally, I was thinking about I would only devote one article for Sister Lucia and then one article for Blessed Alexandria. And my original intention is to talk about two of them, both in one meeting. But I decided to have actually two articles for each, and each one meeting for each meeting for each person. Anyhow, Sister Lucia, when she was a young girl, because of her remarkable memory and mind, she already able to receive communion in an earlier age. And then when she was receiving Holy Communion at an earlier age, she prayed before Our Lady and asked Our Lady to keep her heart pure. And then she seemed to saw the statue smile upon her and to give her a sign of assent. And then also she prayed before the statue again the next day before Mass and prayed, "Make me a saint." And then again she have a supernatural sign and really certain that her prayer being answered. And then when she received communion the first time, she prayed to Jesus, "Lord, make me a saint. Keep my heart always pure for you alone." And then she seemed to hear distinctly a reply, "The grace that I grant you today will remain living in your soul, producing fruits for eternal life." And so as a young child, she already become like a catechist for her younger cousin, Jacinta and Francisco. And also she had, you know, she wasn't as pretty as Jacinta, but she had a kind of personality that really attract people. You know, as a young child, she was like a natural leader. And then even in the convent, you know, she actually also, her word, her action have influence on people easily. She was a natural leader. So Jacinta and Francisco really liked Lucia. And so they asked their parents, you know, to let them go with Lucia to tend the sheep, even though they were quite young. And so, but eventually they were allowed, and that's why they were together when they saw Our Lady apparition to them. Now, as we know that, you know, Lucia, Francisco, Jacinta will be really close to one another. You know, they all share the same secret, and then they would be really close together. And we know that, you know, after Francisco died, you know, Jacinta and Lucia really missed Francisco. And also, you know, the reality was that Francisco died, and then Lucia's father was a healthy man, and then in 24 hours of a serious sickness, he died, you know. And then when Lucia's father died, Lucia shouted in her room alone, you know, shouting, "My God, my God, I never imagined you had in store for me so much suffering, but I will suffer this for your love in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, for the Holy Father, and for the conversion of sinners." You know, and then also later on, as we know that Jacinta's health also getting worse and worse, and eventually when Jacinta went to Lisbon, you know, as she herself predicted, because Our Lady told her that she would go to another hospital in Lisbon and would die there by herself. You know, Lucia was, you know, basically was really depressed because she would be going to the places where they were spending time together, but now she couldn't pick up flower for Jacinta. This everything reminded her that now she's alone. And so I would say that time when she was around 12, 13 would be the most difficult time for Lucia. And so, when Jacinta died, basically, when Lucia heard the church bell ringing, she knew Jacinta died. So she just rushed out of the home, you know, in a lonely place. She just cried all day, and then when she came back, the eyes all red. Poor Lucia. And then after the months after Jacinta died, it was quite a depressing time for Lucia. You know, she remembered Our Lady asked them that question on May 13. You know, Lucia asked the question about two girls, a young lady who died, one in heaven, one in purgatory for the rest until the end of time. And then Our Lady asked, are you willing to accept the suffering that God would send you, you know, for the conversion of sinners and in reparation for sins? And Lucia said, we do. And Our Lady said, you will have much to suffer, but the grace of God will be your comfort. Now she remembered, you know, you will have much to suffer. Now she knew what that really mean. You know, it's a huge suffering for her. She was really, really depressed at that time. And oftentimes, when the cemetery was open, she would just sit close to Francisco's tomb or her father's tomb and spend hours there. Later on, when in Fatima there was a new bishop, you know, the bishop decided, you know, also in a way to protect Lucia from the public, the bishop decided to send her away to study, to send her away to a convent, away from home, basically. And so another sad moment, of course, is to have farewell to the beloved Fatima, you know, to the places that she spent time with the other two cousins. And so she went into a school ran by the sister of St. Dorothy, and she studied there, she learned there. And years later, you know, 1917, 1918, 1920, when Jacinta died, so the next year, 1920 is February the 20th, when Jacinta died, and the next year, you know, 1921, in June, is the time when she left Fatima and went to study in the convent school. And then in the year 1925, a few years later, she entered into that religious community, the Sister of St. Dorothy. It was there, after she entered the community, the end of that year, 1925, when Our Lord and Our Lady appeared to her. And that's also a place in Spain that we plan to go to next year. So, and it's about the first Saturday devotion. So it was on December 10, 1925, Our Lady appeared with the infant Jesus. So if you see a statue or an image of Our Lady Immaculate Heart with a baby Jesus, you know where that came from. That image actually is from that particular apparition of Our Lady in December 10, 1925 to Lucia. And so, Our Lady Immaculate Heart was surrounded with sharp thorns. And then the child Jesus spoke, have pity on the heart of your most holy mother. It is covered with thorns, with which ungrateful men pierce with at every moment, and there is no one to remove them with an act of reparation. And then Our Lady said to Lucia, my daughter, look at my heart surrounded with the thorns with which ungrateful men pierce it at every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitude. You at least try to console me and say that I promise to assist at the hour of death with all the graces necessary for salvation, all those who on the first Saturday of 5 consecutive months to go to confession and receive Holy Communion, recite 5 decades of the Rosary, and keep me company for a quarter of an hour while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary with the intention of making reparation to me. So, who remember, what are the things that ask, again, our lady asked, what are the things?
Go to 5 consecutive for Saturdays.
Okay, for go to receive what? Receive
confession and communion.
Communion and confession, yes.
5 decades
of the Rosary, yes. And then also spend 15 minutes to meditate on the 15 mystery of the Rosary, and doing all this with the intention to make reparation for sins, right? To make reparation for sins, okay? Now, and then in the next year, in 1926, December 15, Jesus again appeared to Lucia. I wonder the date is correct or not in this book. I think it might be February. But anyhow, next year, 1926, Jesus appeared to Lucia again and then asked if she had spread the devotion of reparation to the Immaculate Heart. And then Lucia told Jesus of the difficulties pointed out by her confessor. And though the Mother Superior, though the Mother Superior ardently desired to spread the devotion, her confessor also warned her that she could do nothing by herself alone. And Jesus replied, "It is true that your superior alone can do nothing, but with my grace she can do all." And then Lucia also talked about the difficulty with some people, to make confession on a Saturday, and asked if confession within 8 days would be valid. And Jesus replied, "Yes, even more time still, as long as they receive me in the state of grace and have the intention of making reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary." And then Lucia asked, "And how about those who forget to make this intention?" And Jesus replied, "They can do so at their next confession, taking advantage of their first opportunity to go to confession." And also Jesus told Lucia that a priest actually have the authority to, if the person have a good reason, not able to make that devotion on a first Saturday, the priest can actually allow the person to make that devotion the day after on the Sunday. A priest can do that too. So it's a devotion that we make in reparation against the sin of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Now, it was Lucia also mentioned something happened May 29th to May 30th, 1930. Lucia asked Jesus, why number 5? Why 5 Saturdays? And then Jesus gave a response to Lucia that is to make up for 5 kind of sins against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So first is people who blaspheme against the Immaculate Conception. And second, against her virginity. And third, against the divine maternity, refusing at the same time to receive her as the mother of mankind. And fourth, those who seek publicly to implant in the heart of children indifference, disrespect, and even hate for this Immaculate Mother. And fifth, those who revile her directly in her sacred images. Here, dear daughter, is the motive that led the Immaculate Heart of Mary to petition me to ask for this small act of reparation, and out of regard for her, to move my mercy to pardon those souls who have had the misfortune to offend her. As for you, seek endlessly with your prayers and sacrifices to move me to mercy in regard to these poor souls. So that's the five kind of sins that are atoned by the five Saturday, huh? So people who are sinned against the Immaculate Conception, about her perpetual virginity, about her motherhood, try to have children do the same against Our Lady, and also against her sacred image. So those are the five reasons for the five Saturday. Now, Lucia, again, in another conference in Spain, again, we want to go to that next year as well. So one conference.
How many places are we going?
We are going to many places. Have you read the itinerary?
No.
Did you remember how you said the email wasn't working?
Okay. So when we have the deposit, you won't be depositing. So we have one more space, huh? We have one person on the waiting list right now, huh?
I'm the boss.
Anyhow, so there's two different conferences in Spain that Lucia was there. One is when she had the vision about the first Saturday devotion. Another conference when she had the vision about the consecration of Russia. So the one about Russia would be in the year 1929. You know, the one about first Saturday would be 1925.
Wow.
So you know, she got moved from place to place too. You know that, right? Yeah. But if you go to a monastery as nun, you won't move around. So you can go to a monastery and shut the door, and then they won't move you around.
I think, yeah, but then they won't like, yeah, but then they'll get sick of me and they'll want me out anyways.
Go to a monastery, they won't move you around, right?
They won't like.
Okay, so in the year 1929, on June 13, the Feast of St. Anthony, I'm so glad, it's the Feast of St. Anthony, Lucia saw the great or final vision. Because, you know, I think that what happened was that even though we mentioned about in 1930, Lucia talking about Jesus told her about the five reasons for the five Saturday, but I don't think it was in the form of a vision. It was a voice or internal inspiration that given to Lucia. But the one a year before in 1929 was actually a vision that she saw something. So it was called the Great Vision or the Final Vision of Fatima. And you think about, you know, from Jesus baptized in the Jordan until now, that may be the time that we have the operation of the Trinity. You know, I don't recall any church approved operation have the operation of the Trinity. It's likewise, I don't remember any church approved operation have the operation of the Holy Family. Fatima have that on October 13, 1917. You know, and then on June 13, 1929, you got the operation of the Holy Trinity. So that's the famous vision that, you know, God the Father, and then on top, and then that breath of Father, there's a dove, you know, the Holy Spirit, and then beneath that is the cross, you know, and then the cross with Jesus crucified, and then on the right side, you know, Jesus' head and also Jesus' side, the blood came out, and there is a hose, you know, the blood passed through the hose and dropped to the chalice, and then underneath the right side, Our Lady standing there, and in her hand was her Immaculate Heart. And then on the left side, the word coming down from Jesus' cross, from the arms of Jesus, grace and mercy. So basically, that magnificent vision is the summary of our faith, of the essentials of our faith. It's like when you make the sign of the cross, you think about redemption and the Trinity. So this is like a sign of the cross made manifest. And so it was a really great vision, and that made Lucia one of the greatest mystics in history. You know, because where did you got a mystic that sees something like that? You know? And then, of course, one thing I think you also remember that, you know, on October 13, you know, the children, they saw the Holy Family, but only Lucia herself, and then saw the other image of Our Lady of Sorrow and then Our Lady of Mount Carmel, you know? And so, you know, those three images, Holy Family, Our Lady of Sorrow, and then Mount Carmel. You know, those are the three important images that Lucia saw on October 13. So, And so Lucia wrote, I understood that it was the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity which was shown me, and I received light about this mystery which I am not permitted to reveal. So he actually received some light about the Trinity, but something that she never shared, what is that light about? And then Our Lady said to Lucia, the moment has come when God asked the Holy Father, in union with all the bishops of the world, to make the consecration of Russia to my heart, promising to save it by this means. So basically, the consecration was accomplished in 1984 by John Paul II. Okay. Next time I will talk to you about, you know, Blessed Alexandria make tremendous sacrifices for a consecration to happen. And it was because of Blessed Alexandria's private message that Pope Pius XII consecrated the world to the Immaculata in 1942. And it was because of that consecration that World War II finished. And then 10 years later, in 1952, you know, Pope Pius XII consecrated Russia to the Immaculate Heart. But Lucia pointed out that the consecration didn't fulfill that requirement for the conversion of Russia because it's not with the bishops. And so what John Paul II did in 1984 was he well ahead informed the bishops so that they could join him to perform the act of consecration in 1984. On March 25th. He tried to do one in 1982, May 13th already, but because he didn't inform the bishop early enough, a lot of people couldn't join him. So that's why didn't fulfill the requirement. So he informed the bishop in 1983, and so they could join him in 1984. And in the formula, it was clearly stated, you know, it was basically really clearly stated is to renew the consecration of Pope Pius XII. It was to renew the consecration of Pope Pius XII. So this is one of the paragraph. You know, in the consecration in 1984, Pope John Paul II prayed that 40 years ago, and again 10 years later, your servant Pope Pius XII, having before his eyes the painful experiences of human family, entrusted and consecrated to your Immaculate Heart the whole world, especially the peoples, for which by reason of their situation you have particular love and solicitude. So it's the intention, you know, to renew what was being done by Pius XII, but this time done with all the bishops, with all the bishops. And so, according to Sister Lucia, you know, this consecration fulfilled the request of heaven. And then in 1989, you know, she really felt that inspiration, that the urgency to let the world know about that. So the Carmelite nun, they contact Father Robert Foss, the one who wrote this book and write this book, to publish that in his magazine, The Fatima Messenger. And so he got a special edition that summer, that year, 1989, saying that, you know, heaven accept the consecration in 1984, and now God will keep his word. And then a few months later, you know, the communism collapsed one after another in Eastern Europe in 1989 and in 1990. So we see that the power of the whole church praying to the Immaculate Heart. And so it's encouraging, you know, this October 13th, Pope Francis will consecrate the world to the Immaculate Heart. And of course, October 13th, it's a double anniversary, you know. It's the anniversary of course, it's the last apparition of Fatima in 1917, but also it's the anniversary of the death of Blessed Alexandria, and her feast day actually is on October 13th. So I'm a bit concerned, you know. The tour company haven't replied me yet because I really insist that to make sure we can go to the church to Blessed Alexandria, and then I also realized that the date we want to go to that church is actually pretty close to her feast day. We are going to go on October 11th on a Saturday. So hopefully we can still go to that church, you know, because it's pretty close to her feast day actually. She was the one that really made. I will talk about that in detail. Her story that she made a lot of sacrifice for Pope Pius XII to make consecration of the world to the Immaculate Heart. You know, the whole story. How she was the one who actually behind all this to push that consecration to happen. It's a fantastic story of Blessed Alexandria. You know, you will like her. Yeah, and she is one of the saints that will be a good patron saint to have. Now, of course, Sister Lucia, back in 1948, have the papal permission to switch religious community. You know, from being an active nun, she entered into the Carmelite convent. And because to protect her, the church, the Carmelite superiors, make a rule that only the cardinals, only the relatives, and only people with really special permission are allowed to visit Lucia. Because otherwise people would just keep coming to her like they did in Fatima. You know, I forgot which, one of the operations in France, approved by the church, but I would say somehow corrupted. It's because, you know, the visionaries were too exposed to the public. You know, the one that they saw already crying, there was an operation in France.
Lazalette.
Yeah. It was an operation that is a true operation, but later on, the people say something that is quite not true, that somehow corrupt the original operation. Is because the visionaries were too exposed to the public. People just came to them again and again and again. And so that's why the bishop had to protect Lucia to send her away. And then when she went to a new environment, she used another name. Nobody knew that she was the one who saw Our Lady. So she could have a normal life. But still as a nun who was teaching publicly, you know, it's still too much opportunity for her to expose to the public. And then she wanted to live out her life, you know, in really prayer and sacrifice. So she entered into the Carmelite convent and live out the Fatima message in that way. So, and of course, after the consecration accomplished, Lucia would say she continued to make the first Saturday devotion, you know, to continue so that, you know, the conversion of Russia will be more perfect. And then we know that in the year 2005, a couple of months before John Paul II died, Lucia died on Sunday, February the 13th. And then she was basically quite conscious right until the end. You know, shortly before she died, she read the letter sent to her by fax from John Paul II. And then before she died, you know, her mother superior actually heard her saying, you know, something like that, "Oh, Sacred Heart of Jesus, Immaculate Heart of Mary, this is for the Holy Father, for the we are going." And then the mother superior, where are you going? To heaven. And then with whom? And then I think she said something like, "With Our Lady, with the little shepherds." And that's what she said before she died. You know, so really, really likely that, you know, as Our Lady, she came to bring Jacinta and Francisco to heaven, that really likely that Our Lady and the two little shepherds, Jacinta and Francisco, came to welcome Lucia to go to heaven. So she was almost 98 when she died. So after the operation, she stayed on earth for another 87 years. So that's how long she lived, you know. So, 98, huh? Wow, when I'm 98, it will be in the year 2074, huh? Yeah.
I look forward to the flying car.
Uh-huh. Oh, and then 98, you might still be around.
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll invent the flying car.
Yeah.